Welcome, everybody, to this month's episode of The Storyboard, where we do kind of just whatever the fuck we want. There's no structure anymore. We've lost the thread. So come with us on this journey. Have a drink if you want or not. We're not pressuring you.
That's right.
So, yeah, here we are. It's April 2022.
Yeah. What movies are we going to do this month, Brett?
We're going to just shift gears all the way, hard left turn in a bus and a surfboard, I guess. Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
But not in that order. We're going to do a Keanu Reeves 90s action movie month. We did it with Nick Cage. We're going to do it with Keanu. And we're going to go with the classics of Point Break and Speed.
Oh man, I'm so excited for this month.
I'm stoked, man. I these are guilty pleasure movies. I don't even know how good or bad they are, but I like, they're so good.
Oh hell yeah, man. So Point Break we'll do first, and that movie will be released on Monday, April 18th, and then we'll end the month on April 25th with Speed.
Nice.
We'll speed through this month. Oh man, it's starting. I have some time to work up to it, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
All right, now time for the news. That's me self-editing and not giving the audience time to think about how bad that joke was.
Oh boy.
Okay, so because we're in a movie podcast, we have to obligatorily, is that a word? It is now. Talk about the Oscars that just happened.
Yeah, of course.
So Brett and I spoke off air. We're not going to make any comments or talk about the incident with Will Smith, Chris Rock. It's talked about enough. Everyone has their own decisions. Unfortunate that it happened at an awards ceremony. And now we move on.
Violence, just no. Just don't hit people.
Yeah. Agreed. So, Brett, you were out of town, so I don't think you watched the telecast, right? The broadcast?
I was not able to watch the telecast live. No, I was at a wedding and had more pressing things to attend to.
Absolutely. And the only reason I brought that up is I just wanted to comment. They did, you know, again, excluding the capital I incident, this was a very different look to the Oscars. And it was really cool to watch it because it felt much more like a celebration of movies and why we love movies and less about jerking each other off. You know, there, of course, is going to be that in awards ceremonies and whatever. But like they were like, hey, this is the X anniversary of this movie. Let's bring out this cast to, you know, and show like a little clip. So they did like Pulp Fiction, and you have John Travolta, Uma Thurman, and Sam Jackson. Like, oh, that's kind of fun. Like we like that. And, you know, the musical performances were great. They did a We Don't Talk About Bruno performance, even though it wasn't nominated, which was cool. You know,
yeah, I heard it was terrible.
It was fun. I mean, like, it was the first half of the performance was the actual song, and then I can't remember the artist that came out and like freestyle rapped. And
wasn't it Megan Thee Stallion?
It might have been. Yeah, I can't remember honestly.
Or someone.
I think
yeah.
That's right. Yep. But it was just like, it was just fun, you know, like. It was just fun, and I thought that the hosts did a great job. Amy Schumer, Wanda Sykes, and gosh, it's escaping me her name from the scary movie.
Regina Hall.
Movies. Regina Hall, yeah, thank you. They were fun. It was funny. It reminded me of like the Billy Crystal years, where it was just like, we're just doing a stand-up set and, you know, and having the Godfather honored and, you know. So
I'm very happy that you liked it. You're the first person I have heard that liked the broadcasts
really
a little bit. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I enjoyed myself watching it. I think it felt less stuffy.
By and large, the ceremony was pretty widely maligned.
Well, leave it to me, man.
As one of the worst in history.
That's really funny. I haven't heard that. I've heard that, you know, people, well, all of it is now, you know,
we have a different paradigm, right? I'm happy you liked it. I haven't gone back and watched any of the performances or anything like that. I am typically more in the camp of I would rather them celebrate the movies from this year than doing all of their flashbacks and fan service things and things like that. Like, I want to see and hear things about the movies from this year. And I want people who made them to talk about them. And I recognize that that maybe doesn't make great television for a general consumer. But, like, I want to listen to the sound guy from Dune talk about how he fucking creates, you know, the sound from Dune. So that's kind of what I, you know, the unless the awards were to go totally niche and totally online, I heard somebody describe where the Academy is going pretty astutely recently, in that it's no longer like the Super Bowl of movies. It's more like the Masters, where it's starting to feel like the only way it's going to the Academy is going to survive is that if it reins in its focus and really, really plays into the people that want to watch it and care about these awards and quit trying to bring in general consumers. So, and you know, the Masters, for those of you that maybe are not golf people, is one of the four major tournaments of the year. It's played every year in Augusta National Golf Course in Georgia. One of the most prestigious, beautiful course. And it doesn't do it for the money. Like, often those broadcasts of the Masters are commercial free, or they will do long bits of commercial free.
And now Nicolas Cage is walking up to the podium. He's going to announce the best supporting actor. He's wearing a tuxedo.
Yeah, right.
Quiet, please. Everyone quiet.
Thanks, Jim. Yeah, and so I think in terms of scope, that's kind of where we're headed.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Which I don't want the Academy Awards to die. I think it's fun. I think it's a fun barometer for the kind of movies that get released in a year, especially like looking back as a historical record. By no means am I saying like the Academy crowns the best movie of the year. In fact, it often does not. It actually in recent years, it seems to have just been crowning the least offensive movie of the year.
Or the feel good movie of the year.
Yeah, precisely. And
could be the same thing.
I'm not going to take that away from anybody.
Yeah, of course.
But like Coda is a great movie, but was not the best picture of the year. And probably not even in my top five.
Yeah. So that's a good way to like narrow it, just with the big four or whatever, the big five, whatever it is, actor, actress, supporting actor, supporting actress, and picture maybe, or director, whatever. Overall, what changes would, if the Academy was you, who gets those awards?
If the Academy is me, just from the pool of nominees or just performances?
Yes, just from the pool of nominees. Let's narrow it to that.
I think Olivia Colman in Lost Daughter gave the best performance of that group. It was the performance that resonated the most with me. Sorry, I have a mustache hair in my mouth. That was the performance that I connected to the most. Though I recognize a lot of people have a hard time watching movies about people that are not necessarily likable. And that often radiates into how much a person enjoyed a performance. I also think Jessica Chastain is a great actor. I really did not like that movie at all. I turned it off. It was not worth my time, in my opinion. And I mean, I've said it many times over on this podcast of I just am not particularly, when you start getting a lot of prosthetics involved, for me, it starts creating a really strong distancing effect. And it becomes more about how much the actor looks and has the mannerisms of the real life person that he or she or they are playing. And less about what's actually going on internally. And of course there are many instances of those kind of performances having real life and whatnot, and a real rhythm, but I would say by and large, performances like that don't resonate with me almost entirely.
Yeah, I'll cut in here so because this is my big issue with Oscars this year or whatever happened. Like, Jessica Chastain did not do it for me in this year at all. I don't get the hype. I don't get any of it. I mean, it's so telling that in her acceptance speech or whatever, the first people she thanked are the makeup people for helping her find the character. And I'm like, I watched the movie, and to be fair, I liked it more than I thought I would like it. Because I thought I was just going to hate it, but it was not that good at all. And the whole time you're just like, wow, look at Jessica Chastain in all of that latex and prosthetics versus like what Olivia Colman could do with just her face and nothing else. Like, and no line. Like, she didn't speak a whole lot in Lost Daughter either. Yeah. Like, the work that Olivia Colman does is a capital A acting. And Jessica Chastain does a great impersonation of Eyes of Tammy Faye, and there are some good moments that she has, but different leagues for me. I don't understand what the, you know, and I understand it's body of work and, you know.
Yeah, whatever. But she's also, what, 40? Like,
yeah, less than that. I think she's in her late 30s.
Late 30s? Yeah, she's got plenty of time.
Yeah.
And not that you have to, like, wait a certain amount of time to get an Oscar. I don't think that at all, but I just don't think this was the right performance to reward. And I also...
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. On you know, there's also it's I particularly feel this way when people are playing famous people, like hyper famous people, because then everybody's criticism immediately goes to, or at least the layperson's criticism immediately goes to, and I'm not saying I'm not a layperson, but like when I hear people talk about this movie, it's always just like, oh yeah, she looks just like her.
Yeah, right.
She looked just like her.
Right.
It's like, okay, I can paint you, I can get you a photo. Like,
yeah, right. Like, good on the makeup people. They deserve an Oscar. Great. But yeah, that has nothing to do with the performances.
Congratulations.
Yeah. I agree.
You know, whereas like Will Smith's performance in King Richard, he's also playing a real life person that he did meet and did model his behavior off of. But there's something much more dynamic and internal going on there. With his performance,
And all it took is like super short shorts and like a scraggly beard and scraggly hair. That's all it takes.
Grade him up a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. That's it. Yeah.
And so I think he was probably deserving. That performance did really resonate for me, and I think he did a really nice job.
I agree.
That movie is a little hit or miss for me in terms of its pacing and styling, but. I think he does a really nice job.
Yeah.
Who else was nominated in that category? I can't even remember.
For best actor?
Yeah.
Javier Bardem for Being the Ricardos, Will Smith, Andrew Garfield for Tick, Tick, Boom. And I'm missing another.
Yeah, I think Will Smith deserved there.
Denzel Washington and Benedict Cumberbatch. Oh, yeah.
Sure.
I'm happy for Ariana DeBose for Best Supporting. I was happy with that one. Like, she was great. Sure.
I thought she was too. Yeah. That movie, she really came alive in that movie.
Yep. And then, what's his face from Coda for Best Supporting Actor?
Troy Kotsur.
Fine with that one. Yeah. Troy Kotsur. Director was Jane Campion for Power of the Dog. And then Kenneth Branagh got adapted or original screenplay, I think.
Yeah. That's the original screenplay is the only Oscar that I really take issue with. I think every single other screenplay that was nominated in that category is better than Belfast's screenplay, personally.
Yeah, that one screams of body of work Oscar. We're not going to give you director, we're not going to give you picture, but...
Yeah, for me, I don't even know if it's body of work, but I think everybody saw Belfast, and they're like, oh, Belfast, and then they filled their ballot out, and they're like, wait a second, Belfast didn't get one. Here you go. Yeah,
right. And also Kenneth Branagh has never won an Oscar and he's a huge name, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was fine with it.
Yeah. I do wish Lost Daughter had won adapted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which one won adapted? Was that
While you look at that, the other oversight Coda. To me though, what so oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Coda.
Okay. Again, lovely movie. Enjoyed it.
Yep.
The other oversight to me, though, that just doesn't make any fucking sense, didn't even happen with the winning of the awards, but the nominations. I don't know how you have Dune nominated for 10 below the line categories and Denis Villeneuve is not nominated as a director. Yeah, I don't understand it. I don't get it. It's like people only think directors work with actors for some reason.
Right.
And it's just not like...
It was his vision all the way through. Like, they only won.
What the fuck? You nominate James Cameron for every piece of trash he puts out. What, like...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's not true. He's put out one piece of trash. I just didn't like it. He's put out a lot of other great movies.
That's fair. Yeah, no, I agree. And you could tell that every single person that won for Dune, because they won a good amount of design awards.
Yeah, they won, like, 6 awards or whatever.
Yeah, every single one made a huge point to thank Denis and be like, this is yours. This is your vision. We're here to honor you.
He's the one that got this thing fucking made. I just don't understand it. I don't understand how he's not nominated as the best director. And maybe he'll get his due course like Peter Jackson did with Return of the King.
That's what I'm thinking.
Like,
whether Dune 2 is good or bad, he's going to get nominated for it.
If he's not nominated for that, I mean, the Academy is very clearly broken anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And then best picture for you would go to Licorice Pizza.
To be honest, I was thinking about this hard over the weekend, because there were a couple of us that were at this wedding just kind of chatting about the Oscars.
Yeah, sure.
And I had a strong sit down conversation with myself of like, all right, what is the movie that genuinely impacted you the most? And the answer is Dune, man. It's Dune.
Wow. Yeah.
Yep. I am in awe of what that movie did. In awe of it. I cannot believe what they pulled off and how good it is.
Yeah.
And I just feel like there are so many oversights too. Like, because there's so many people that are just like, oh, it's a big budget sci-fi effects driven feature. And yes, it is that. But also there are some wildly great performances in it from Rebecca Ferguson and Javier Bardem and Oscar Isaac and Charlotte Rampling, who is one of the most terrifying people I've ever seen on screen.
So true.
In that role. The way she controls that room at the beginning of the movie is remarkable, with the fucking pin on the...
Uh-huh. And just the scope of it. I mean, it is...
Yeah, I mean, Hans Zimmer made... He invented like 12 instruments for that movie.
Of course he did. I'm so glad that he won. I'm so glad that he won for that. Like, that score is so good.
It's incredible. It's incredible. Yeah. And so that, like, that was the movie that had the most... I'm also, like, have talked about, like, I'm a sucker for world building stuff too. Mm-hmm. And I understand the critique that we didn't really get a full movie, that doesn't really feel like it's finalized and we haven't seen the whole thing yet. But in terms of the thing that had the most like pop off the screen, wow, energy, like it was Dune. And then West Side Story. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I find myself fluctuating between. Like, I thought West Side Story was one of the best musical movie adaptations that has ever been made, whether it's, you know, and I guess kind of like going modern, like I can't really compare that to the movie musicals of the 50s and 60s, but like looking at kind of everything post Chicago, you know, 2000s and forward. I mean, it's so hard to do a musical movie because you have to balance the theatricality of people are going to break into song and dance. And it's a movie that's more hyper realistic, which is the issue with Dear Evan Hansen. Like, that doesn't work, you know. I think Tick, Tick, Boom also does that, but just on a smaller scale. So, you know, I think West Side Story was, I would fluctuate between those two, Dune or West Side for me, like, I think if I'm the Academy, I go, okay, I'm going to give West Side Story the best picture. And then I'm going to give Dune Part 2 the best picture next year or whenever it comes out. Like, I'm hedging my bet or whatever. Nice. Well, that's a good little Oscar debrief. Did you have any news or any... thing that you want to talk about, things you're watching, things you're excited about?
Just two little things that I was thinking of. Actually, let's see, four tiny things I was thinking of. There are a bunch of, we're in a great period for television right now, and though I'm attempting to just limit my consumption a little bit recently, there are a bunch of new shows out. Atlanta is back. Just want to highlight that for everybody. It is the best show on television, and don't even argue with me.
It's amazing.
It's a remarkable, remarkable achievement and a remarkable program that is doing things that no one else has done on television.
Yep. And when the show started, it was relatively three unknown actors, and now they're huge because of that show. You know, they've
done
Marvel
largely
stuff.
I mean,
they've
Brian done... Brian Tyree Henry started on stage, and mm-hmm. I think Lakeith Stanfield did as well, and then Donald Glover has been famous for a long time. But yeah, it's so great. It's back and in season as of this recording. I think three episodes have been released.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's right. I'm marathoning it. So I haven't started the third season yet, 'cause it's been so long since I've seen the first two that I'm like,
yeah. Yeah. And it's not the type of show that's going to give you when you watch the first episode, like a last time on Atlanta. No, that's not happening.
No,
they don't give a shit about your shitty memory.
Yeah, exactly.
And then there's also, in complete opposite vein, on Paramount Plus, they've finally released the Halo television show.
Yeah.
Which I watched the pilot of on the plane.
What did you think of it?
To be honest, I had a good time.
You enjoyed it. Good. Yeah.
I grew up a Halo kid, played Halo all through college and whatnot. So I'm like target audience member number one.
Yeah.
I had a good time. The effects, there are certain portions where the effects look awesome. Mm-hmm. Pablo Schreier does a really great job as Master Chief. There are also times when the effects are like, oh, that one, we could have spent some more time, effort, or money there. Right. I don't know which one we needed. But that fire looked like it was drawn with a crayon.
Yeah. Yes. And this is a little bit of a light spoiler for Halo. So, you know, it's just the first episode, but fast forward 15 seconds. He takes his mask off, which we never see in the games. How did you feel about correct. That moment? Because that kind of changes some lore.
Sure. I feel fine with it, to be honest. I'm not a huge lore snob when it comes to this particular IP.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise, I guess. I think it's if they're trying to develop any sort of emotional story, I think it's important to show the guy's face.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously there's some like Mandalorian vibes as well in this. They're
big time, dude.
taking big hints from Mando.
Yeah.
Which
we don't see Mando's face, again, spoiler, until end of season two we see it. Like, I don't think we
even
see it in
season
one,
to be honest.
You know? Yeah. Okay. So that's good to hear that you will continue watching it. Like, you enjoyed the pilot enough to.
I will at least watch the next episode.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, me too. I felt similarly.
And then two other quick things. The other thing that I watched recently was on my plane back, I watched Training Day.
Oh, yeah. You've been talking about rewatching that for a while.
I know, and I saw it. It was like, you know, on the Delta in-flight monitor, it was like newly uh-huh. added Training Day. I was like, easy.
That's the one. Yep.
Denzel Washington is incredible in that, and so is Ethan Hawke. They are. That is a remarkable movie.
Yeah, man. I agree.
What Antoine Fuqua is doing with the camera in that too is just. I am so compelled by that movie, and it's like. For my money, it's the best version of Denzel because it is he's so dynamic in that role where you don't know if he's joking or not. You don't know if he's angry or not. And then all of a sudden the switch flips and what you thought was true isn't. And then it switches again. You're like, oh, wait, I was right. And then it's just this incredible like study in how an actor uses his power and his status.
Yes. Yes.
And then Ethan Hawke, man, he's just one of my favorite actors. And I just, we talked about this a lot during the Linklater Before trilogy. I think that guy does not get enough credit for how good he is. I think he mm-hmm. is so, so good.
Yeah, and his project selection largely is good too.
Yeah, he does really great fucking movies.
Yeah, right.
And then the very last thing that I wanted to mention, we've mentioned previously, almost maybe as you know a year or so ago, the director duo that did Swiss Army Man, their new movie just came out in LA and New York, and then breaks wide next week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Called Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know I have not seen it, but I was listening to the directors talk about it on another podcast, and it just sounds like the perfect fucking movie for me. The essential premise is, you know, take as true the fact that the multiverse exists, i.e. the universe is expanding. That means the universe is infinite. In a world of infinite possibilities, everything you can imagine, literally everything you can imagine, exists.
Right.
Yes. And so the main character jumps between multiverses in what is apparently a very creative and compelling way. I heard a rumor of a hot dog universe.
Yes, I heard that rumor too. It's sort of like Jet Li's The One meets like Marvel Multiverse meets Swiss Army Man.
Yeah, meets Cloud Atlas, meets right. It's all
it's perfect. I cannot wait to freaking see that movie. What's the name of the Nick Cage movie where Nick Cage plays Nick Cage playing a movie about Nick Cage? Most Interesting Man
I'll find it. I keep forgetting the name of it.
Me too.
But that's coming out soon too.
Yeah, that's coming out in April too. So that's one of the ones I wanted to.
The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
Yeah, God, I can't wait for that movie. That movie's going to be so good. And it's largely getting some like good press about it, too, from what I've read, like that it's not just stupid and shitty. You know, it's stupid and shitty in all the right ways. So hopefully that's right.
Yeah. In all the right ways, we want it to be stupid and shitty. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Well, the only, you know, you took most of the stuff that I've been watching wanted to talk about. I just have, no, and it's great. That's, it kills two birds with one stone.
You also watched Training Day on a plane?
Yeah, it was so weird. I heard it was free on the plane, so I booked a ticket and just to watch it. So I have just
$300 ticket for a 7-inch monitor.
yeah, man, it's the new wave. I don't know what it's like in New York, but that's how we do it out here. I want to call out a couple of small things as well. HBO released the premiere date for House of the Dragon, which is the Game of Thrones prequel, which I will absolutely be watching, if nothing else, just for curiosity to see if it holds up, if it's good, what that's about. It looks like it'll be pretty good, so we'll see. And that will be on August 21st. So there's that one. That's all I wanted to say about that. Drawing attention to the new Obi-Wan Kenobi show, they announced that premiere date as May 25th, and it will have a 2-episode premiere. So that'll be fun. I'm looking forward
to it. How the hell are they not releasing that shit on May the 4th? Give me a fucking break.
I know, man. What a missed opportunity.
I should run the marketing department at Disney.
You should, man. We would. Yeah, I don't know what Disney would look like with you as the marketing. Don't see this movie. It's another shitty superhero movie. Okay, go watch Paul Thomas Anderson. Love Disney.
In a strange turn of events, Disney has decided to sell off their Marvel franchise. Because their marketing director doesn't like it.
Yeah. their new chief creative officer is Paul Thomas Anderson. How strange. Oh, man. And the last thing I wanted to bring up was something that I need to atone for and I need to own up for. Because there was some really sad news that came out just a couple days ago about Bruce Willis and his aphasia diagnosis. And that he's stepping back from acting. And I'm sure everyone has heard about this. It's pretty big news, but aphasia is a really, really, really terrible brain disease or disorder or I don't know what the correct term is for that, but that takes away your ability to communicate. Can't recognize language, reading, speaking. You know, it has several, this is very general, of course, but that's what it does. So, you know, he's clearly been struggling with it for a while. And last storyboard, I had a good laugh about the Razzies and nominating a worst performance by Bruce Willis in a Bruce Willis movie. And to give them credit, the Razzies have rescinded all of that as well. Because they basically were like, we found out when everyone else found out, we had no idea. And, you know, I got curious with this diagnosis because he did like 8 movies in the last 2 years that are all really not good.
Bad action movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Think like, you know, direct to video, you know, Nicolas Cage movies, that type of level. And so, you know, there are several on the streaming services, and I went back and watched one of them that was released in the last year. It's a 90-minute, you know, space action movie. And you can see Bruce Willis has a thing in his ear for lines being fed to him. You can see that he has no more than 5 words a line. Like,
yeah.
It's so very clear now that you're like, wow, this isn't bad editing or writing. This is. And then I read a few reviews or a few interviews of people saying, of directors who worked with him on these movies saying, yeah, we were told by his team and his crew that we needed to be able to film all of his scenes in 2 days and really like 2 half days. So cut down the dialogue, cut everything back. And it was just very clear to all of the people who had been working with him that there was something seriously wrong. So I want to make an apology saying that I also didn't know and thought it was a bad, you know, Nick Cage type. Like, I just want to put stuff out on board and I feel horrible for Bruce Willis and just want to honor that he's given us some great action movies. We've done Die Hard, Pulp Fiction, a lot of like great stuff that he's done. And, you know, it's good that he's taking his health into, you know, his own hands and being like, yeah. I'm done. I'm not going to fight through it. I've had my time and, you know, so anyway, right. I just wanted to bring that up so that, you know, inevitably when this podcast gets super famous, they can't just drag this through the mud.
No,
that's the only reason. Not that I care about humanity. cool. Yeah. Well, good stuff. I feel good about that. Good little Oscars debrief, stuff to look forward to.
Very much so.
This is me still just biding my time trying to figure out, like, maybe I'll just happen upon a good ending point and then it'll end.
Nope. And I'll just continue to sit in silence because I'm totally...
Yeah, and let me fucking flounder. Yeah, like, yep, I'm just going to let him keep talking in circles
I'll just watch this forever.
Join us for the following previews. On the coast of Southern California, you can only surf, party, and make love for so long before it's time to go to work.
Rock and roll!
27 banks in 3 years.
Everybody freeze!
Anything to catch the perfect wave.
I'm not a crook.
Patrick Swayze.
Fear causes hesitation, and hesitation will cause your worst fears to come true.
Keanu Reeves.
You think I joined the FBI to learn to surf?
Point Break.
Adios, amigo!
All right, pop quiz. Airport. Gunman with one hostage. He's using her for cover. He's almost to a plane. You're 100 feet away.
What do you think?
Shoot the hostage.
What?
Go for the good wound and he can't get to the plane with her. Clear shot.
You're deeply nuts, you know that?
All right, gentlemen, what we have here are 13 passengers in an express elevator. Bomb's already taken out cables. Bomber wants $3 million or he blows the emergency brakes.
Anything else that'll keep this elevator from falling?
Basement.
He can strike anywhere at any time.
Will the mystery guest please sign in?
Why are they messing with me? Do they think I'm doing this for fun?
for L.A. cop Jack Travin.
Tell me again, Harry, why did I take this job?
Oh, come on, 30 more years of this, you get a tiny pension and a cheap gold watch.
Cool.
The game began.
Very exciting, Jack. Some close calls, huh?
When someone put the city of Los Angeles to the ultimate test.
Pop quiz, hotshot.
There's a bomb on a bus. Once the bus goes 50 miles an hour, the bomb is armed. If it drops below 50, it blows up. What do you do? What do you do?
Now.
Are you insured?
Yeah, why?
He's the only solution.
We just got a ransom demand from your terrorist. Says he's rigged the city bus. Where's Jack?
Where do you think?
Stay on or get off.
Get off.
This is much better.
Everybody hold on!
Keanu Reeves. Dennis Hopper. Sandra Bullock.
Pop quiz. You have a hair trigger aimed at your head. What do you do? What do you do?
Speed. Get ready for Rush Hour.
Thanks, everybody, for hanging out. We like doing these. We like checking in at the beginning of the month. Be sure to stick with us this month on April 18th and the 25th for our Keanu Reeves early to mid-90s action movie. 90s action Keanu Reeves month.
Working title.
Just got to keep them on their toes. You don't know which one's coming next. We are going to do Point Break, Catherine Bigelow's 1991 pseudo buddy cop thriller type situation. That's kind of the vibe we get from it. And then we are going to go straight into the one of the quintessential 90s action epics, Speed.
Yes, cannot wait. And that's on the 25th?
25th, yeah.
Yes, perfect. Wonderful. You can find all of this on our social media, Facebook and Instagram, at Movies in the Buff, Twitter, Buff Movies. You can email us, watchingmoviesinthebuff@gmail.com. We always love to hear from fans. Let us know what you think. Whether you agree with our Oscar, nomination decisions or not, let us know what you want us to do, because we need help. And tune in this month. Very excited.
Yes, it'll be a nice change of pace.
Exactly.
We say that every month. Like, this will be a nice change of pace.
But this one truly will be a nice change of pace.
This will be. Yeah, I don't think we've had a movie, these kind of movies, since we did the Nick Cage 90s.
Yeah.
Style right. Action.
Yeah.
Like, we've done some action movies and stuff, but nothing quite like these.
Nothing that's just pure fun, like you mentioned, guilty pleasure action movies. Like,
yeah, but yes. I have a feeling that we're going to find both of these are legitimately great movies.
Yeah, I think so. I'm excited to look at it in that vein instead of just like, I'll throw it on. Cool. Let's end it. Let's end it. Humphrey?
Humphrey, take it to the baby now.
Hilda, I'm no good at being noble, but it doesn't take much to see that the problems of three little people don't amount to a hill of beans in this crazy world. Someday you'll understand that. No. He's looking at you, kid.